Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Welcome as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more.
Good day and welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Business, brought to you by the Barbados Chamber of Commerce Industry. My name is Tahir Bulbulia and I'm your host for this program. Last Monday, Barbadians heard the budget proposal for the financial year 2025-2026. Prior to the budget being laid in Parliament, many questions were asked. Would there be any new taxes? What projects would government be embarking upon for the financial year? And what are some of the investment opportunities coming to the country? And one of the major questions that were asked was, would Barbados be going to the IMF once again? But today, we'll be exploring some of these incentives that have been given, the programs that government will be embarking upon, and what Barbadians will be looking forward to for the year 2025-2026. And joining me today is Mr. Michael Jordan. He's the Executive Director and Head of Business Development at JMMB International. Michael, welcome to the program. How are you doing today, sir?
Thank you, Tahir. Thank you for having me. I'm doing good, man. I'm very amped to be discussing the budget today.
Lovely. Michael, and one of your main goals is to simplify complex financial concepts and investment processes to make them more accessible. And I really love that when I read your bio. But Michael, before we jump into the deeper level conversation, for persons who may be listening, what is a budget and why is a budget so important for one, the government, and two, the average citizen of Barbados?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, from the perspective of a country, the budget, and it's a similar perspective with an individual as well. You need to have a plan when it comes to both money that is coming into you and how you're going to spend it, so that you have a very clear picture of your financial situation. It's even more so important for the country because the country has, as you would expect, a lot of moving parts. So there are multiple streams of revenue. There's a lot of expenditure, be it on the people within the country, maintaining the infrastructure of the country, and continuing to maintain the standard of living. So it's very important for persons to have that picture of what the government plans to do in the coming year, as well as it is also a signal to external parties, be it external investors or other countries within the region, so that there is a very clear picture of the government's plan. And that's where you get terms like investor confidence coming up, because if it is that the government has a very clear plan, investors would much be more inclined to invest. And then when you look at it from a personal perspective, you know, you want to make sure that your salary is covering your expenditure. You want to make sure that you are putting yourself in a comfortable financial position. So they have a lot of similarities. Both are very, very important.
Lovely. And I'm sure many persons would be looking forward to this conversation. So, Michael, you know, when you hear of quarters of growth, the governor of the central bank would often give a report on the state of the Barbadian economy, how much investment is coming in, unemployment rate. There's so many elements to it. What are the productive sectors? How can you break down what is growth and how do you break down growth in the economy for people listening?
Sure. So I'll take it from the context of the budget that we've kind of set as a foundation. So we know that for using Barbados as an example, but it's pretty much the same for any country. We know that you will have those industries that are your primary revenue earners. In the case of Barbados, based on, you know, the last reports laid by the central bank, our growth centers remain tourism and construction as well. So you kind of measure that growth in terms of the amount of revenue that is coming in, that is being generated within the country. And on top of that, you will also have investments that might be coming in. And you kind of balance that against the expenditure, which is also very important at the site. So that expenditure might just be expenditure, as I said, on the people, the infrastructure within the country, but it could also look like investments as well. And when you kind of tie everything together, it gives you view of what the growth trajectory of the country would be. And that's typically measured in the gross domestic product, which is the GDP. And you kind of hear that being used as the metric, the common metric across countries. What's the GDP growth rate? You might hear 3%, 4%. And you know, that gives you an idea of the state of the economy and state of the country.
Thank you for explaining that, because I know many people, they hear these terms, they hear economic growth, they hear budget, they hear simple things that may be easy for us to digest and understand, but many people don't understand it. So I just wanted to just start from that foundation. But Michael, how does this year's budget position Barbados for long-term economic growth and resilience? And what impact do you foresee on the financial sector?
Sure. So after I listened to the budget and you know, went through it and everything, there were, from that basis, there were three things that really popped out to me. The measures that were being put in place to make tax filing and tax revenue collection more efficient. We know that, you know, they've sometimes there may be an issue, and it's not unique to Barbados, but there may be an issue or any country with regards to tax revenue collection. So a couple of the measures within the budget were aimed at making that more efficient and also putting a little ease on the taxpayers as well. And then one of the big ones that stuck out to me was the allowance, or the planned allowance, for credit unions to invest in more diverse areas. The credit unions here hold a significant portion of the local deposits. And this creates an opportunity, one, for them to diversify their exposure. And diversification is always a good thing. You don't want to put all of your eggs in one basket, but it also offers them an opportunity to offer more value to their membership bases as well. And then the clear prioritization of climate resilience. On the surface, you know, we know very well that we are susceptible to some of those climate-specific shocks, you know, the hurricanes, et cetera. But this actually creates an opportunity for investments in that space. So as we look towards being much more resilient, that means that there will be more projects that are geared towards that, and those projects will likely need capital as well. So it creates an opportunity for investment into that space. And then once you have more investment into that space, there's the possibility or the chance that it will then create more investable assets within the market in general, promoting more activity. So I mean, the impact I see for the financial sector is these are steps in the right direction. There's still a lot of work to be done, for sure. And, you know, in that investment education space, as we were speaking about. But these are definitely good steps in that direction.
You know, Michael, I'm glad you raised that point about education. And traditionally, Barbadians are known to keep significant amounts of money on the bank, whether it be in their credit union, are the commercial banks. How can we encourage, from a personal standpoint, now, Barbadians to become more a part of the investment process and seeing that their responsibility and the benefit of investing into national projects, even international projects as well, and being a part of the economy, having a stake in the economy?
Yeah. So I think that investment education is key, but I will say it is not limited to the investors themselves. So I'll give you an example. If it is that the investors were much more edified, much more comfortable in terms of investing, but the businesses that might be seeking capital were not coming to that investment space to seek that capital, then we would end up with a situation where the investors are ready to go, but don't necessarily have any options in terms of investing. So I think the investment education solution runs both on the side of the investors as well as those businesses that might be seeking capital. So once you have that gap bridged, then we would definitely see a lot more activity within that investment space, investors being much more comfortable assessing a company that might be seeking investment, and a company that is seeking investment being, you know, having all of the boxes checked and being ready for scrutiny to receive that investment.
And on the point of people, we also hear that the greatest asset to Barbados are people, and our highly skilled workforce and educated workforce. But there's significant conversations and concerns around labor, for example, and the proposed increase in minimum wage, social spending, the amount of money the government spends on welfare. How can businesses pivot and maintain growth while managing rising labor costs and other labor challenges that are emerging in 2025?
So I think the important thing is for any business when they are doing their strategy planning is being able to have these things in front of them. And that would allow for much better planning. It is a change even compared to last year, but it would definitely, having it in front of you would definitely give the business the opportunity to pivot. There may be a chance to invest in technology to support that, the edification or the development of the workforce. So even though you may have slightly higher costs at the workforce, within the workforce, you definitely would be able to have a much higher level of productivity through investment into either technology or the development, further development of that workforce. So I know it can look on the surface like a hurdle, but we try to look at these things as the potential for an opportunity, as they may. So, just it's important to have everything in front of you and pivot quickly. That's also a good hallmark for our business.
Yeah, technology is certainly the way to go whilst managing the people and whilst managing the people that are managing the technology as well. So absolutely, we're going to get to technology a little later down in the conversation, but I'm certainly enjoying this conversation as well. But coming out of the budget, Michael, Barbados has focused significantly on tourism and tourism investment. But what industries do you see emerging coming up for investment coming out of the budget this year?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, we know tourism as a Barbadian, tourism is our kind of mainstay. But coming out of the budget, there's also construction. It would have also been communicated that we have 6 new hotels being constructed at the same time, but that is not limited. That's not the only construction that's going on, because as per the Central Bank reports, at least for the last 2 quarters, construction has been one of the areas of growth. But the other one is renewable energy. So we know that Barbados has had a push within recent times in the renewable space. And this budget also supports that, where businesses must also now demonstrate portable water storage, backup electricity, electrical generation, and other measures that were mentioned within the budget support that the renewable energy push is going to continue. So I think that also becomes a very important space where investment can occur.
That is going to be key. That searching for new investors. And as we learned from COVID, and I know there's been significant conversations around diversifying the tourism product. How do we diversify the tourism product, bringing in sports tourism, heritage tourism, cultural tourism, all those aspects which could then spur on growth and investment in a variety of areas. But why do you feel it's so important for Barbados to continue to focus on diversifying its economy and its tourism product?
So that's a great question. And it's one, we're speaking about Barbados, but we could really be talking about several other islands within the region. Diversification is key because we don't want that if there is a shock to one industry that the economy is crippled. You kind of see the risks of that happening during the heights of the pandemic, where we would have seen the impact on tourism. Obviously, persons weren't able to travel. You kind of see the effect or the potential effect of something like that. And in an increasingly active geopolitical landscape, you definitely want to diversify away some of the risk of external shocks as well. And within the tourism space specifically, we have so much to offer on the island, and you would have mentioned some of the other types of tourism, and it's worth developing in the same instance, the same concept of diversification away from a single exposure, which might expose you to risk. So, I mean, as I said, we're speaking about Barbados now, but it's not a concept that is limited to Barbados. The diversification of risk is definitely not a bad thing. And I think we are making some steps towards that, as we would have mentioned, renewable energy construction, and even some of those measures that were targeted towards the agricultural space as well. And they yield additional benefits because, food security is definitely a consideration in the agricultural space. So there are no real downsides to being much more diversified. And I think that we are working towards that.
Certainly. And you know, many persons don't quite understand the importance of living in a world and, often operating amongst other countries. And what has taken place, as you would know, and many people have mentioned over time, that there's been a shift in global power. For example, the emergence of Middle Eastern countries, UAE, Saudi Arabia, India has one of the leading economies in the world, where traditionally, before you would look to the US, England, countries in Europe, for that focus for economic development. Where does Barbados fit into that picture? In farming partnerships, looking for investment from those countries? And how can people shift the mindset to what the traditional global powerhouses look like, and who we previously did business with?
So that's a great question. So I think if you just watch the news, and if you watch the news long enough, you realize that what we would have seen 15, 20 years ago in terms of the world stage and who are the main actors, it looks a lot different today. And Barbados so far has been working to have partnerships not only with our traditional partners, but also expanding those reaches even into Africa. And I think it's important, as you would have pointed out, the Middle East and even India. And I want to say that the BRIC countries, which would be Brazil, Russia, India, China, etc., they are emerging as or have emerged as real serious players. And we stepping outside of Barbados, we have seen a lot more connections between other countries, both in the region and outside the region, with the more non-traditional, and again, I'm looking 15, 20 years ago, partners. So if you take a step back and look, the world is definitely changing. It's very, very fluid. The headlines are all full of, what's happening on the geopolitical landscape, and it really is as easy as, just pay attention to the news a little bit, and you get a better sense of how the world has changed.
It also depends on which news station you watch as well, Michael. But
Yes,
that is a very
I missed the opportunity to give a
that's a very
call.
critical point.
Absolutely.
That's a very critical point indeed. And I think Barbados has done well in engaging these emerging countries. So as you said, even in Africa, Rwanda, one of the leading economies in Africa right now, developing on the world stage. And I think there's a need for a mindset shift in who we focus on traditionally to do business with, and that shift is needed right across the board, from the person right at the average person on the street right up to the top. Because I think far too many times we still focus on those traditional source markets, whether it be for tourism, for investment, for business development. But the world has shifted and it will continue to shift. But moving in now to technology, and fintech is a big area for investment in Barbados. There's many fintech companies coming to Barbados to set up, to operate financial services as well, offshore companies coming to Barbados. What role does fintech play in the post-budget investment landscape, and how can financial institutions support this development?
Well, there is a global movement towards fintech being much more accepted. We're seeing a lot more digital assets being accepted in a more mainstream way than we had before. In US markets, for example, the first ETFs that were based on crypto were being traded, I believe it was last year. So we see a gradual move. towards a more general acceptance. But in general, I think financial institutions will move towards that space. And I know when we hear fintech, the first thing that comes to mind tends to be crypto. But financial technology has a much wider scope. So even the advent of mobile wallets, et cetera, that we are seeing within the region, being offered within the region, that falls under the fintech umbrella. So I will say that the financial institutions will continue to move in that direction. It yields not only additional products that you can service your clients with, but also it can, if used properly, add another layer of protection for the same investors as well. And it's just critical that the government, not only of Barbados, but the governments of any country, really have an understanding and have a role in the development of that space to protect the investors as well, and make sure that it is a mutually beneficial relationship, or rather mutually beneficial, but beneficial to all, because the financial institutions will also benefit.
Yeah, I certainly believe the financial institutions can benefit, and they have a role to play in this advancement of the fintech industry. And investment inwards as well. Michael, what's your thoughts on the non-traditional areas of investments? For example, developing a sports economy, developing economies which major countries invest in, those first world countries invest in and get the returns on the investment. What are your thoughts on those non-traditional areas of investment? So one example is like a sporting economy.
Yeah, so I think for a small economy like Barbados, and we'll use Barbados as the obvious example, on a GDP basis, it is not an equal comparison to compare us to, say, the economy of the US or China. And what that means is that there are spaces that we just don't have the land space. We don't have the amount of people. At this point, we may not even have the technology to compete. So finding opportunities, for example, like developing the sports economy, may create a niche where the larger economies are willing to invest in, but it may not necessarily make as much sense to them as it would for us. And that creates an opportunity for us, if we are a niche player, that we can definitely see real rewards from that. So for me personally, I think there are several opportunities there, not only from the perspective of creating something new and unique, but also the fact that, you know, if we create something new and unique, it may encourage investment into the country as well as into the region, and we would then be able to generate economic growth from that perspective.
I'm really enjoying this, and we can definitely go on for a long time. But this is Let's Talk Business, brought to you by the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry. And we're slowly coming to the end of the program. I know, Michael, we can go on for hours discussing this topic, because this is certainly a love of yours and a passion of yours with lots of experience. And I really love how you're breaking down these concepts so that people can understand and people can be educated. But final question, with BERT 3.0 on the horizon, what role do you see financial institutions playing in supporting sustainable economic growth?
So it really comes back to what we would have been discussing about education. So in the continued development and the evolution of the local capital markets, brokers have a role, not only in providing access to those markets, but also educating both investors and the entities, as I would have mentioned. So financial institutions have a real responsibility to also, in addition to granting access, educating, but also have a responsibility to uphold the integrity of the local financial markets. So what that does is, you know, once your financial markets have more of a reputation, not only of activity and liquidity, but also of integrity, it really encourages investment both locally and from foreign entities and foreign persons, to really spur economic growth. So the responsibility of financial institutions within that space is very critical.
Thank you, Michael, for that. And we're going close to the end. Michael, moving forward, what do you think are three skills, are three focuses that Barbadians need to do so that we can build our economy, build our skills, and become more productive in the Barbados that is transforming at a very rapid rate?
The three things that come to mind: seek out that education. The internet is there. I know that there is some filtering that you may have to do, but don't be afraid of the information. Try chase that education. And the other side of that is being willing to speak up on what you might want to see. We see in some of our more active investment spaces across the region that the investors know a lot more as a function of that education. They're willing to speak up a lot more. So I think that is definitely something that we would look forward to. And the final thing, and probably most important, is embrace that technology. Embrace the, don't get left behind. You see a lot of developments in the AI space, and that's going to continue. So I would say, don't be afraid of it. Educate yourself, embrace it, and be willing to speak out.
Embrace it and don't get left behind. And that is the words of Michael Jordan. And this has been a very intriguing conversation, a post-budget conversation with Michael Jordan, who's Executive Director and Head of Business Development at JMMB International. Michael, thank you so very much for joining us here today. Any parting words?
I just want to say thank you for having me, man. As you pointed out, if you didn't say we were coming to a close, I feel like we could have talked for hours. So really appreciate you having me, and I look forward to the future for both Barbados. This budget, I look forward to seeing some of these plans being executed, and look forward to JMMB contributing to the growth of the investment space.
I certainly believe JMMB will be a part of this process, attracting significant investment, which is needed to our country. So, ladies and gentlemen, it has been a pleasure to be your host for this program. Thank you, Michael, for joining us. And this has been Let's Talk Business, brought to you by the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry. My name is Tahir Bulbulia, and until next time, God bless and please be safe.
That's it for another edition of Let's Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Join us again next time as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more.